All right, it's good to worship together. Oh, what a weekend it's been of celebration. You all look a little bit tired. Open up your Bibles, and we're going to give our hearts to God by listening attentively to His Word. So gird up the loins of your mind and open your Bible and give your ears and your mind and your heart to the Lord who gave everything for you. Colossians chapter 2, starting in verse 6. Colossians 2, 6 to 17. The sermon this morning is called Christ is Everything. Christ is Everything. Paul says earlier in Colossians chapter 2 that in Christ are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It's all in Christ. Christ is everything. Everything you have in Christ Jesus. It's my heart and my prayer this morning that God will show the Lord Jesus Christ to the eyes of our hearts this morning. Your heart has eyes. Those eyes have been enlightened. Light has shone on them by the Holy Spirit. If you have been born again, if you have put your trust in the Lord Jesus and you are capable of beholding the risen Christ right now by His Holy Spirit, and He loves to do it through His Word. And so that's my prayer for this morning, is that the Spirit would hold the risen Christ up before you in His Word. We're not able to conjure this up. I'm not able to summon words to come anywhere near doing justice to who Christ is, but the Spirit is able, by the powerful words of God, to present Christ before us in power this morning. Do you believe it? God is pleased to give Christ to us really and truly by His grace alone, through faith alone. As you look to Him and look to His Word with faith, you will behold the risen Christ. So let's ask one more time that we will see God in His Word this morning. God, You are everything. The Lord Jesus Christ is everything. And we pray, Father, we need Jesus. We have nothing apart from Jesus. There is nowhere else for us to go apart from Jesus. And we know that He is no longer dead, that He is alive, that He is seated at Your right hand, and that He is present in power by His Holy Spirit who is in our midst this morning. Father, we believe that Your words are not mere human words. They are Your very words filled with power, the same words that created the world, the same words that called us to new life in Jesus Christ. And these are the words in front of us this morning, and we ask that You would reveal Your Son to us. We can't make it happen, but You can. And so we humbly ask in Your grace, in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. Let's read Colossians 2, 6 to 17, and then meditate on it for a little while. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him, and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. In Him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses by canceling the record of death that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him. Therefore, let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Amen. Amen. Let's meditate on this for a little while together. Christ is everything. And because Christ is everything, we are to walk in Christ alone. So we're going to see throughout this passage, and I tried to emphasize this as I read through it, that everything we have in Christ and with Christ. Did you hear that refrain all throughout? In him, with him, in him. Everything you have through your union with Christ, which happens by faith. And so Paul begins by telling us to walk in Christ. As you received Christ Jesus, so walk in him. Christianity is not simply a conversion moment in the past that leaves you unchanged. It's not merely a formula you recite that gets you a ticket to heaven on the day that you die. You do receive Christ in your conversion. When you put your trust in him, you receive him, you are saved, you are born again, given a new heart, and then you walk in him. You live a life of faith in Christ Jesus. What does it mean to walk in Christ? First, Paul says, we are rooted in him and built up in him. He's our foundation and he's our walls, rooted in him and built up in him. Christ is the ground we stand on and the air we breathe. He is your identity, your source of stability, and the aim of your life. It's all Christ. Your roots go down into Christ, and you grow up into more Christ. He is everything. Paul says that to walk in Christ means we are established in the faith as we are taught. This is verse 7. We're established in the faith as we were taught. We know the Bible. We believe the Bible. We hold fast to the Bible. We're strengthened in the Bible. We are established in the faith which we were taught. We don't swerve from the Bible. We don't compromise on the Bible. We don't negotiate the Bible. We are established in the faith just as we were taught. And the third thing that Paul says walking in Christ means, so we're rooted in him, we're growing in him, we're strong in the faith that we were taught, we hold on to the truth, abounding in thanksgiving. Abounding in thanksgiving. To walk in Christ means that you are overflowing with thankfulness. We don't grumble and sulk our way through life. We rejoice in Christ Jesus, giving thanks to the Father who has given us life in him. We live lives of gratitude for God's grace in Christ Jesus. If all those things aren't true of you, that you're rooted in Christ, you're growing in him, you're established in the faith that you were taught, and you're abounding with thanksgiving, not perfectly, but truly, there's thanksgiving flowing out of you. If that's not true of you, if you're like an Easter-only kind of Christian, you're not saved, but you're bound for hell. You're still under the wrath of God. But you can repent right now. You can repent today. You can put your trust in Jesus and by faith alone, you can have all your sins forgiven, you can receive the Holy Spirit, you can be rooted in Christ, and you can live forever. And we will teach you how to walk in Him. Walk in Him, Paul says. Therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in Him, rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith, just as you were taught, abounding in thanksgiving. Walking in Christ also involves being careful that you're not captured, that you're not taken captive. This is verse 8. There are philosophies and empty lies in the world whose purpose is to ensnare you and to take you captive. Do you know that? Are you aware of that? Do you watch out so that you're not taken captive by godless ideologies? People are captured by them, and then they live for them, and then they walk in them, but they're empty lies if they're not Christ Jesus. Isn't there always some new idea? Isn't there always some new way of thinking, some new solution that's, this one's going to solve all of our problems, socially, emotionally, spiritually, or whatever. There's always some new thing that comes along and you've got to get swept up in this movement and be rooted in it and grounded in it and persevering in what you've been taught. And if you do, then everything will be great. But those are lies that want to capture you from the Lord Jesus Christ. But when we follow Christ Jesus, we find life abundantly in Him. You are not an Enlightenment person. You are not a postmodern. You're not a boomer, a millennial, Generation X, or whatever stupid name they come up with next. You are a Christian. You're not a Marxist. You're not an existentialist. You're not a nihilist. You are a Christian. That is the best thing that you could be. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Don't be captured by human traditions. Don't be captured by elemental spirits of the world away from Christ. Human traditions. Don't deny Christ's teachings because that's not how you were raised, or because that's not how your personality is, or because that's not how your family did it, or how your ancestors did it. It's a blessing to have a family. It's a blessing to have a personality. It's a blessing to have a heritage and a tradition, but at the fundamental level, you have to leave all of that to come to Christ. And then in Him you find your family, your personality, your heritage, your tradition. You find it recreated and risen again in Christ Jesus. Do not be taken captive by philosophy and empty deceit according to human tradition. Christ is your Creator. He is your Savior. He is your Lord. Let your allegiance be to Him above all, in all your thinking, in all your living. Learn from Ruth and say her words to the Lord Jesus. Do not urge me to leave you or to return from following you. For where you go, I will go. And where you lodge, I will lodge. Your people shall be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there will I be buried. May the Lord do so to me and more, if anything but death parts me from you. Leave your father and mother and follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Let His people be your people. And may that include your father and mother and your children and your children's children. Don't be captured by elemental spirits, he says. Don't be captured by astrology, the Enneagram, magic, food laws, modern purity diets, crystals, yoga, esoteric teachings, myths, new moons, Sabbaths, hallucinogens, ecstatic experiences, or anything like this. These are traps. They are the elemental spirits. Christ surpasses all things, and we live in His world by the power of His Holy Spirit because Christ is everything. See to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of the world, and not according to Christ. Because all the fullness is in Christ Jesus. For in Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily, and you have been filled in Him who is the head of all rule and authority. Christ is everything because Christ is God Most High. In Him the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily in the person of Christ. There is not more that Christ could be. There is nothing more that Christ could have. He has the whole fullness of deity dwelling in Himself. No greater riches could Christ draw from than His own nature. All fullness is in Christ. Christ is fully God. He's not part of God. He's not one-third of God. He's not merely a prophet of God. He's not simply a messenger from God. Rather, in Him, the whole fullness of deity dwells bodily. As He said, "If you have seen Me, you have seen the Father." That's the fullness that Christ has. The fullness of God is taken on a human body in the person of Jesus Christ. Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. He is God Almighty, the Lord of hosts, maker of heaven and earth, the great I Am, the second person of the divine Trinity, come to live and walk in our midst. He is the head of all rule and authority, Paul says. He's the King of kings and the Lord of lords. He takes orders from no one. The Lord Jesus Christ looks to no one and nothing but Himself as the ultimate and unchanging standard and source of all truth, goodness, and beauty. He looks to no one outside of Himself, but is Himself the source. That's the fullness of Christ. And you have been filled in Him. The fullness of deity fills Him, and He fills you. Christ is everything. He is your fullness. You need nothing beyond Him. What does it mean that you have been filled in Him who is the rule, the head of all rule and authority? What does it mean that we have been filled in Christ? What fullness do we receive in Christ? First, in Christ, we receive the fullness of recreation, being born again, regenerated, made new. In Christ, you don't just get a makeover, you don't just get a remodel, you get buried and risen again in glory. You get a new heart, you get a new spirit, you get your old heart pulled out, the core of your being pulled out, and a new heart put in its place. You don't just need a new religion. You don't just need a new worldview. You don't just need some cleaning up. You don't just need some reprogramming. You need to die and be buried and rise again. Because as verse 13 says, you were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh. C.S. Lewis summarizes Jesus' call to be born again well. He says, "Give me all of you. I don't want so much of your time, so much of your talents and money, so much of your work. I want you, all of you. I've not come to torment or frustrate the natural man or woman, but to kill it. No half measures will do. I don't want to only prune a branch here and a branch there. Rather, I want the whole tree out. Hand it over to me, the whole outfit, all of your desires, all of your wants and wishes and dreams, turn them all over to me. Give yourself to me, and I will make of you a new self in my image. Give me yourself, and in exchange, I will give you myself. My will shall become your will. My heart shall become your heart." Paul talks about this in terms of being circumcised and baptized. Verse 11. In him also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. You've been circumcised in Christ. Not just the old covenant outward sign, but the reality that it pointed to. The circumcision of the heart. Christ has cut off your body of flesh and discarded it. Christ has cut away your flesh, your old self in Adam. What Calvin calls your mass of vices which proceed from your corrupt nature. It's quite a procedure, your circumcision without hands. He also calls it being baptized in Christ. The true circumcision is to be baptized in Christ. You've been buried with Christ in baptism. When you go under the water, it's a symbol of your death, your burial, the end of an old life. Micah, how far under the water did you go? A little bit? Mostly? All the way, right? All the way in. We were sinners, corrupted in nature, enemies of God, under His curse, and so we were plunged into death. But Christ was with you. It says you were buried with Him in baptism. Death is a scary place to go. Being buried is the thing of nightmares. But in baptism, you were buried with Christ. And so it's okay. You can still be happy. Christ has all the fullness of deity dwelling in Him, and He is with you in your death. He goes into death with you. He goes down into the water with you because you are in Him. And so even though you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you need fear no evil because He is with you. His rod and His staff, they comfort you. And because Christ is with you, death and burial is not the end. Verse 12, you were buried with Him in baptism, in which you were also raised with Him through faith in the powerful working of God, who raised Him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him. Christ is risen, and in Him so are you. Notice that it doesn't say you will be risen with Him, but that you were also raised with Him. And God made you, past tense, alive together with Him. Now there is a bodily resurrection to come. This body that you have will grow old. It will fade unless Christ comes back first. It will go into the ground and be buried, and it will await the day when Christ calls your body up out of the grave and gives you a new resurrected body that's abounding in glory, that you can't even imagine what it will be like. That's the hope that's coming. That's still to come. And yet, in Christ Jesus, by faith, you are already risen from the dead. In your inner being, in the core of who you are, you have already come out of the grave. You are not your sin. You are not your struggles. You are not your past. You are not your hardship. You are risen from the dead in Christ Jesus. You must consider yourself dead to sin and alive to God in Christ Jesus. Christ is risen, and in Him you are filled with the life of God. As you receive the Lord Jesus Christ, so walk in Him. Walk as though you are filled with the resurrection life and power of God, that sin and death have no hold over you anymore. In Christ Jesus, by faith, you are moving from glory to glory. You were going down, 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 down into the outer darkness. But the moment of your conversion, the moment of your new birth, was the turning point. That was as low as you will ever go, because from there, it's from glory to glory to glory to glory, and it's already begun inside of you, and you're moving from glory to glory, and one day your body will catch up, and your body will be glorified, and your sin will be no more, and it's just all up from there, from the moment of your baptism, of your death in Christ Jesus, and your resurrection with Him. The decisive turn has already happened for you, Christian, in the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now it's up, 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 up for you into the ages. Now you'll still have various trials as necessary for the perfecting of your faith so that you endure until the day of Christ Jesus. I'm not saying it's going to be easier and easier and easier from here on. But I'm saying that you're moving into life and glory and faith and hope always. You've already gone down into the waters of death. You've already come back out in Christ Jesus. And that's the point at which everything turns, isn't it? In Christ Jesus, we receive the fullness of the forgiveness of sins. Look at verses 13 and 14. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with Him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This He set aside, nailing it to the cross. You are made alive together with Christ. You participate in His resurrection now through the forgiveness of sins. There was a record of debt that stood against you with legal demands. God, the good judge, has seen your every sin, your every rebellion, your every dark thought, your every dark desire. He's seen them all. He's counted them. He's written them carefully in a ledger. And sin carries with it legal demands. And because God is a good judge, He intends to punish every single thought, every single word, every single deed that you have done in rebellion against Him. It has legal demands, demands of justice, demands for your death. Justice cried out for your blood, and it was a just sentence. And God took that record of debt, along with all the legal demands that accompany it, and He set it aside by nailing it to the cross. He took all the ledger, contained all your sins, all your guilt, and all the punishment that you deserve, and He took every last bit of it, and He nailed it to the cross, and He set it aside, and it's done. It's finished. You died with Christ and in Christ on that cross. Your sins were nailed there with Him, and now you are free. Your sins have been punished. They've been paid in full. Don't walk in guilt. Don't walk in condemnation. You're forgiven. Don't listen to the accuser. You are justified. Don't carry the weight of shame anymore. You are honored and exalted in Christ Jesus. Don't wallow in defilement. You've been washed clean. You have died with Christ. Your debt is paid. The righteousness of Christ is accounted to you. And you stand before God as though you are perfectly righteous in Him. From His fullness, we have all received grace upon grace. In Christ Jesus, we receive the fullness In Him, all the fullness of deity dwells, and we are in Him, and we are filled, and you have been filled in Him, who is the head of all rule and authority. You have been filled in Him by dying to who you were and rising again. You've been filled in Him by having all your sins nailed to the cross and fully forgiven. And lastly, in Christ Jesus, we have received the fullness of deliverance from satanic domination. Verse 15 says, He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in Him. Because our deadness and sin included being ruled and dominated by Satan and by his kingdom of darkness. You were a child of Satan. Paul says it this way in Ephesians 2, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that's now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. But God disarmed them. It literally says, He disrobed them. He disrobed them. He put them to open and public shame by triumphing over them in Christ. They thought they were getting a great victory, putting the Son of God on the cross. But when He rose on the third day, they were publicly and openly defeated. Whipped, triumphed over. And they have no authority over you in Christ Jesus. Such that if demons harass you, you just tell them in the name of Jesus, go away, and they have to listen. There are a million applications and implications of all of this fullness that's ours in Christ Jesus through His death and resurrection. But the first one Colossians gives is perfect for us to close with this morning. And that application is in verses 16 and 17. Because you are filled with the fullness of Christ, feasting and festivals and rest are merely shadows of Christ, the substance. So let's conclude with verses 16 and 17. Therefore, in light of all this, therefore let no one pass judgment on you in questions of food and drink or with regard to a festival or a new moon or a Sabbath. These are a shadow of the things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Did you enjoy the festival this weekend? Amen. It's just a shadow of what's to come. It's just a shade. It's just a passing shadow. Imagine the shadow that your body casts on the ground. If you can see yours, look at it. Hold out your hand under the light. Look at the shadow. And how you can kind of tell what your hand is if you can see its shadow. But it's just flat, two-dimensional, colorless, dark, without substance. That's the shadow. And this is the reality. It's alive. It's three-dimensional. It moves. It's colored. It has blood flowing through it. This is the real thing, and that's the shadow. The festival that you have enjoyed this weekend is just the shadow of things to come. There is a festival coming that will have no end, that will have no problems, that will have no sorrow, no tears, no sin, no struggle, and it will last forever. And Christ Himself is the true feast. We feast and we eat and we drink and we rejoice and we're satisfied and our bellies are full and our hearts are made glad. And sometimes our bellies are made uncomfortable. And then the feast ends and we go home. And I thought last night I couldn't eat anything else, but I woke up this morning and I was hungry again. And I'll get hungry again this afternoon. That's just the shadow. Christ Himself is the true feast. He is the food that satisfies our true selves forever. He is the real Passover lamb, the living water, that when you drink of him, you never thirst again. And so feed on the person of Christ by faith. Christ is the true festival. We celebrate in honor of God. We rejoice throughout the weekend. We worship. We have fun. But before we know it, the festival's over. We return to ordinary time. But at the right hand of God are pleasures forevermore. With him is the river of delights. Christ came so that his joy may be in you and that your joy may be full. Though you have not seen him, you love him. Though you do not now see him, you believe in him and rejoice with joy that's inexpressible and filled with glory, obtaining the outcome of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Rejoice in the person of Christ by faith. If you come and you eat and you play kickball and you dunk somebody in the dunk tank and you eat some more and you celebrate and you dance and you enjoy, but in all of that you miss the person of Christ, it's all empty. But you can look to the person of Christ and you can feast right now and today and tomorrow, no matter what comes. And the festival will never end. Lastly, he says, let no one judge you with regard to a Sabbath, because Christ is our true rest. We try to set aside our work for weekends and festivals, some of us more successfully than others, to try to rest, to try to receive, and just to bask in God's grace. But troubles arise. Work springs up that can't be avoided. Monday comes, and it's back to work. That's just a shadow. But Christ is your true rest. Christ is the one who invites us to come and lay down our weary striving and receive by faith the work that he has done for us, and to enjoy forever the prize of eternal life, which is given to us, which he has purchased in his death and in his resurrection. So rest in the person of Jesus Christ by faith. I'll close with some words from Charles Spurgeon, whose preaching points just directly to the person of Christ more than anyone's I've ever heard. He said, I cannot describe all that Christ is to us. For what is he not to us? He is the sun of our day. He is the star of our night. He is our life. He is our life's life. He is our heaven on earth. And he shall be our heaven in heaven. Christ is everything. Look to Christ today and tomorrow and every day. Walk in him. Receive his fullness by grace through faith and give thanks always. He's risen. Hallelujah.